next few weeks, we will hear Jesus say, "I am the bread of life," several times. It's enough to make someone following a low-carb diet despair. But all this repetition raises the question, why does Jesus keep saying this phrase? What is embedded in that curious message that it is necessary for it to be repeated so that we do not forget? Perhaps a starting point might be to look at the idea of bread. Bread is a basic food. It's been around in one form or another for almost 10,000 years. It certainly spans cultures. There are breads in India, naan and paratha and kulcha, and in Norway, lefse, and in Ethiopia, injera. It was talked about by poets in ancient Greece and Rome, and it continues to be a popular topic for cookbooks. If you go on Amazon, there are almost 1,000 cookbooks devoted entirely to bread. That's a lot of bread. Why? It's a cheap, relatively easy food that provides sustenance. Even the poorest people have some access to the basic materials, and making it once the grain is ground can be as simple as mixing flour with water and yeast, allowing it to rise and baking it. The ancient Israelites knew about it. The story of the escape from Egypt when the Israelites fled so quickly that there wasn't time for the bread to rise is one that's familiar to all of us. So too, that other story we heard reference to, when the same Israelites were wandering in the desert and nearly starving to death, God responded to their complaints of hunger by raining down a special bread, manna from heaven. When they were hungry, God didn't send them anything exotic, pomegranates or garlic or Nile perch. He sent them bread. Bread from heaven, the bread of angels. When people are hungry, they need to fill their bellies and feel satisfied. And for that, they need bread. Now, all of this sounds sort of academic and formal, and if you are a reader of the Bible, vaguely theological. But our experience of bread is neither academic or formal or even theological. It's visceral. When you smell a loaf of bread baking in the oven, you don't think about Moses and the manna or the feeding of the 5,000. You think, I want a slice of that bread. Butter on it too. When Doug and I were in Ireland, we had that visceral experience of bread. Each morning at about 7:45, there was a knock on the double door of our cottage. And one of the lads, either Owen or Molly or Porrig, would be standing there and would walk in with a loaf of freshly baked Irish brown bread. Some mornings there were croissants, but we're not going to talk about croissants today. We're going to talk about the brown bread. The aroma was luscious. Put a little of that Kerrygold butter on it, a bit of strawberry preserves, and it is heaven on earth. It didn't take more than a day for us to be like Pavlov's dogs, mouths watering as soon as we heard the knock on the door. Here came that beautiful loaf. One loaf of bread for each of the cottages. There were five of us in each of the cottages. And here's the remarkable thing. There was just enough bread for each of the five of us, assuming that we didn't get greedy. Pure gift, that bread. A gift of hospitality, like offering someone who's working in your yard a cold glass of water. Like sharing a birthday cake, for a box of chocolates. But extra special because bread fills our bellies in ways that other foods cannot. We cherish that bread and we love the hospitality and generosity of our hosts, bringing it to our very kitchen table each morning. We didn't have to do a thing. We didn't have to earn it. It just arrived. It was given out of a hospitable love and was gratefully received. Now, we understand the power of bread in this story of the Irish cottage and the warm bread brought every morning. But what does it mean when we think about bread in the context of today's gospel? What does it mean when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life"? Jesus was responding to the delighted joy of the people who had witnessed the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. They had eaten their fill, even though there had only been a couple of loaves of bread and a few fish when they started. But they had come to him before that miracle, hungry for something else, something that they did not find in their lives, in their relationship with God. They needed sustenance that fed their souls. Jesus, however, was the ultimate pragmatist. As he always did, he attended to their physical needs and then attended to their spiritual ones. There had been enough bread and fish to give everyone full bellies, with leftovers gathered up afterwards. And he taught them, but he also gave them the bread that would allow them to digest his message, his words. And then he walked away from them, knowing that they would seek him out to ask for more. And that is when he said that he had more bread for them. But it was not the bread that had filled their bellies, that transitory bread, as evanescent as manna, as temporary as a little snack. No, he explained. He was there among them not only to give them the bread that filled their stomachs, but to give them bread from the Heavenly Father, bread that would fill that hole within them, that would fill their soul. And predictably, they said, "Yeah, sure, give us some of that bread too." And then he said, "I am the bread. I am the bread that gives you eternal life." Do you think they understood what he said? Did they think literally, guessing, is this some sort of weird cannibal thing? Did they wonder if this was Jesus' way of avoiding making more of that tasty, magical bread that they had eaten? Or did they stop and realize the true nature of their hunger? A desire to be filled, not just in their bellies, but in their hearts and in their souls. Did they sense that the very reason that they had come to hear what Jesus had to say, all 5,000 of them, was because there was a hole, an empty hole, at the core of them that needed to be filled? Did they hope that this was the man who could fill that hole? Yes, it was a miracle, this moment. They had been fed in a way that left them fully physically satisfied. No more growling bellies that day, this was certain. But they had also been fed a soul food of the most satisfying kind. Unlike manna in the desert, this bread would not turn to dust by nightfall, needing to be replenished every morning, almost like that Irish bread coming to our cottage. And this most certainly would not be a slice of that airy white wonder bread with little in the way of lasting sustenance. No, this was the real deal. It was like that Irish brown bread, warm from the oven, fragrant with health and goodness. It was enough to feed everyone in the place, and then some. It would sustain them as it sustains us through the length of days. It would fill them as it fills us with good things. And that deep and health-filled sustenance would last in a way that would keep us all from hunger forever. Did those people understand? I don't know. But given time and distance, they certainly knew that they were changed by this bread of life. So may we be as well. Amen.